Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, Bill Handel here on a Tuesday morning, September 21. Some of the big stories we are covering. The president has just spoken to the General Assembly of the United Nations, and he said basically nothing. He said the same thing that he always said. And then the body found in Wyoming, the believed to be Gabby Petito, that will be performed today, and we'll get a confirmation, no doubt. This business with hiring and the unemployment and employment and people looking for work and not looking for work, it's really weird. I've never seen anything like this. There is a complete disconnect where you go down the street, you go down any boulevard and any where you see retail shops, restaurants, et cetera, nothing but hiring. We're hiring, help wanted signs all over the place. Bureau of Labor Statistics says there are 8.4 million potential workers who are unemployed. But there's also 11 million jobs open. So what is going on? Who's to blame? What's to blame? Well, a lot of reasons. First of all, corporate hiring practices can be really convoluted because too reliant on machines, on algorithms. And applicants aren't being realistic or strategic enough to apply the correct way. That's the problem. There are trends that are being ignored. And when someone applies for a job, you have to be very specific because you've got these algorithms that look for certain words. And if they don't match up, boom. That's thrown out and it goes in the trash can and the potential employee never even gets to see anyone because people do have stories to tell. They truly do, except they never get that way. Another reason why there are so many hires in one category and so many unemployed is that a lot of what people are seeing are low-paying jobs with unpredictable or not working-friendly scheduling practices. They don't come with benefits. They don't come with long-term stability. And these are not the type of jobs that virtually any worker is willing to take on. I just did a story this morning about Disneyland and the lawsuit against Disneyland saying we should earn at least $18 an hour, a minimum living wage. But what was brought up, and think about this, and this makes a great deal of sense, is that a lot of people get work second jobs simply to keep afloat. You've seen story after story about that. When you're dealing with these kinds of fast food establishment or even Disneyland, they stagger the hours. You don't know week to week what your hours are going to be. Therefore, it's impossible to get a second job. And that is another disconnect. That's what makes it particularly difficult for someone to earn enough money with, as hard as it is, second jobs. And so a lot of what people are seeing are these low-paying jobs. Now, even high-paying jobs are not that easy to get. But when you have low-paying jobs, and even with a $15 an hour minimum wage, that's still not a whole lot of money. this may be the first time, and I don't even know if it's there yet, in terms of spendable income, disposable income, the last time there was enough income that actually supersedes what's being made now was in the 1970s. 1970s is when minimum wage covered more than it does today. And that's a horrible thing to say. And a lot of people who have lost their jobs during the pandemic or quit their jobs during the pandemic, want to work from home, et cetera, they have an easier time and they get paid more money. And the pandemic, like any other problem that occurs when we're talking about a national problem, even a local problem in terms of people working, the lower end of the socioeconomic scale always gets nailed. Always. And here they are getting nailed. The work, relatively low paying. The benefits, virtually non-existent. The hours, in many cases, are part-time. Who is going to work and take that job? Especially when unemployment is coming in. And here in California, they extended unemployment, I think, till January 1st. And so you've got a difficult, undesirable job market. And at the same time, you have the applications. For example, when you go to Indeed or ZipRecruiter, you fill out the apps, all done on the internet, and then you have the computer, the algorithm, the artificial intelligence, just going through it. And if you don't have the right words, you know, if you don't have the right connections in terms of what your skill level is versus what they need, and it's not put together perfectly, you're not even going to get a job interview. And that happens to so many people. Yesterday, I did a story on how companies are desperate for workers. Yeah, they are, but not work that people necessarily want. And when it comes to retail, particularly restaurants, restaurants are where we really see it because restaurants are where we go to. Restaurants are on all the major streets. The help wanted signs you see in the window of every single restaurant out there. And those jobs nobody wants. And so it becomes super easy for resumes to never be seen because the keywords and the criteria don't exist on the application. You haven't filed correctly. You haven't applied correctly. And you don't know, by the way, what the appropriate terms are going to be because they all match up. It's like a dating service more than anything else. And these systems, when we're talking about ZipRecruiter, Indeed, that sort of thing, they don't understand the potential. They can't figure out what someone could be good at. Someone applies, and on its face, I don't know, but maybe something grabs an employer, just a little twinge of something, and sets up an interview, and the interview just blows the employer away. And all of a sudden, you have someone that has tremendous potential that can live up to the potential that doesn't exist with computer applications. So there is, unfortunately, employers desperate for employees. At the same time, employees wanting the right job, having a difficult time connecting with the right job, it's not easy. Man, this I've never seen a disconnect like this, ever. All right, coming up, we talk about the decision to get the vaccine as mainly political. That's sort of the way we looked at it, but that's a simplistic way of looking at it. It goes a lot deeper than that. It's a little bit wonky, but I'll try to unwonk it. And you're going to go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's coming right up. KFI AM 640. Out of breath. All right, Jennifer Jones-Lee.
You have a lot to say.
I do have a lot to say.
Takes a lot of hot air.
I don't know if that was a compliment or not.
I get so few chances to zing you.
Yes, you do. And good morning, Bill Handel here. It is a Tuesday morning, September 21. Lot going on today, but let's start with Jennifer Jones-Lee. Jennifer, you want to talk about your wiggly, woggly, piggly walk?
You know what? It could benefit pigs. So absolutely. Thank you for the chance. I just want to thank all of the KFI listeners. We raised over $25,000 for the Pasadena Humane Society. And the big walk, the big culmination was Sunday. Met so many listeners. Many listeners said they actually, I have a welcome back and well wishes for you, Handel.
That's sweet.
From a lot of people on our team. But to the people who helped raise $25,000, literally we had donations of $5 in some cases coming in. And it just all accumulates and adds up. So thank you so much. All the crazy pictures are on Instagram, JJLKFI. If you want to see the crazy costumes that my husband and I dressed as. And I also posted on Instagram over the weekend a picture that was found at my grandmother's house of me riding a bull.
That's a great photo, by the way.
Legit photo.
Of bull riding.
Me on funeral wagon, the bull.
Wow. That's impressive.
Or it just shows, it confirms people have always thought I'm crazy.
Yeah, you have to have one sore butt after that. You have to.
I broke my arm on the next ride.
Oh, there you
broke
are.
It in half.
That's terrific. Hey, a word or two about what's going on with the decision to get vaccinated. Now, over the last few weeks, longer than that, through the pandemic, as soon as the vaccine was available, it turned out that as we looked at who was vaccinated, who wasn't, a lot of it had to do with geography. A lot of it had to do with politics. And I said over and over again, look at the political picture. A lot of us did. Well, the scientists are now looking at this a little bit more carefully. And politics and geography do play a role. But scientists, and we're talking about thousands of people that were interviewed, personality traits shaped by genetics, early life experience, that strongly influences the COVID-19 related decisions as to whether or not get vaccine, as to whether or not mask, as to whether or not the school issue, social distancing. And it's over 50%. I think one of the studies show that it's 55% of reasons other than geography and politics. And I thought it was all, for the most part, politics. And here it has to do with weighing risks. And these are, you know, they're going to be looking at this really carefully, the scientists. And it just started because, man, this pandemic thing, not only medically does it have massive repercussions, but also simply how we deal with problems like this. Polio vaccine. Boy, we lined up. No one said, no polio vaccine for me. Smallpox vaccine. Oh, yeah. How many anti-smallpox vacciners do you think there were at the turn of the last century? Well, that certainly has changed. And the study, it was interesting, that was done by, done in England, I think. And the scientists measured risky decision-making by presenting people with a gambling scenario. Choose between two bets. One offers a guaranteed amount of money. The other one offers the possibility of a larger amount, but also the possibility of receiving no cash. That's a gambler. And you think the same thing goes, and it's true, by the way, as you look into this, is that, and we've seen it, is that people who refuse to be vaccinated are simply willing to take the risk. They said that outright. The chances of going into the hospital, getting COVID, dying, are very, very slim. And they are. Incidentally, however, losing that one is not just losing money. Losing that one can be a little problematic when you're the one that gets tagged. And still, people take that risk. Add that to the politics and the geography. And you've got governors like DeSantis and Greg Abbott, who the more people that are put into the hospitals, the more adamant they are. Also, in another study that was done, and this was 8,500 people in Japan, the study found that those people who scored high on extroversion, they were extroverted, were 7% less likely to wear masks in public and avoid large gatherings. So the more extroverted you were, the fewer precautions you take, which is kind of interesting because I look at people who are extroverted as not necessarily people who are idiots. Well, I don't know. You know, I'm pretty extroverted, but boy, I got my vaccine. You talk about quickly. I remember the first go round. I was there. There was a little lady in a wheelchair in front of me. I rolled her right off. Man, I was going to, there is no way that anybody's going to be in my way in getting that vaccine.
He's back.
Why don't we check in with Jennifer Jones Lee?
I feel like that's a safe space for the listeners right now.
Yeah.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the Bill Handel Show, and I hope you realize Bill Handel is doing most of the Bill Handel Show as he gets very close to a 100% return after that heart surgery and that back surgery that he had before that. Some of the top stories we're following for you here on KFI. Oh, West Hollywood City Council has approved the implementation of vaccine mandates. You will have to prove you're vaccinated for most indoor public spaces in that city, restaurants, bars, and nightclubs included. And an autopsy of the body found in Wyoming that is believed to be Gabby Petito will be performed today. And her missing boyfriend and person of interest, and by the way, the only person of interest in this case, is still missing. Man, oh man, how many more articles are we going to see about the perfect ergonomic chair for working from home? How many more articles are we going to see on tips and tricks to make yourself look as good as possible on your Zoom meetings? Because it certainly seems like during the pandemic, everybody was working from home. And there was a tremendous number of news articles, lifestyle articles, those fake articles that look like an article, but really it's just a list of products that you can buy through an affiliate link on the page of the website so they get a cut of it. And it was all about everything about working from home, and it gave the impression that everybody was working from home. And a lot of us assumed that everybody was working from home. And the people that assumed that everybody was working from home were the people who were working from home. Now, there's been a poll conducted that reveals a very interesting but not very surprising phenomenon, and that is people who themselves worked from home during the height of the lockdowns and the pandemics always overestimate the number of people who are working from home. And they did this in the middle of the pandemic, and then they just did it again last month in August. And they asked people, what percentage of people do you think are working from home? And people who themselves were working from home always way overestimated the truth. It may feel like during the height of this that almost everybody was working from home, but the fact of the matter is that at the peak of working from home because of the pandemic, only about 35% of workers were working from home. Now, last month, only 13.4% of workers worked from home. But people who were working from home last month and who were asked in this poll to estimate, hey, what percentage of people are working from home? They said 40-50% of people are working from home. And this is because of a very basic psychological principle. People think that other people are like them. You think that what you believe is what other people believe. You think the thoughts that you have are the same thoughts that other people have. And therefore, you think that your opinion and your thought about things are more common than they usually are. This is a long-known sociological principle. It's kind of like confirmation bias, where you go looking only for information that confirms what you already believe, but it's not exactly the same. What's interesting about this is you would think that if everybody thinks that everybody else is just like them, that we'd have a much nicer society, that people would be more polite. After all, when I run into you on the street or at the supermarket, I think you're like me. Why wouldn't I be nice to you and courteous? But of course, we know that that's not what's happened in society at all. Here's what's interesting. If you go back 40, 50 years, and you look at things like schools, churches, other social groups, neighborhoods, there was quite a bit of racial segregation. But there wasn't as much economic segregation. If you go back 50 years, you go into a church, it was far more likely that everybody in the church would be of the same race than everybody in the church is of the same socioeconomic status. You used to have at church, yeah, everybody there was white, but you had poor people, you had rich people, you had middle-class people, you had doctors, you had plumbers, you had, you know, sanitation workers, all going to the same church. Now, some of the racial segregation has improved, but the socioeconomic segregation has increased significantly. We're more divided now by income than perhaps any other specific factor. And so what happens is this bleeds over into every other aspect of your life. So your neighborhood is the same socioeconomically, your peer group becomes the same, and a lot of times in the workplace now, people who are working together are all of a similar socioeconomic status. And that's why everybody thinks that if they were working from home, everybody else is working from home. Most of the people working from home were more educated and more higher income people because they could. And you have so many people who could never work from home because their jobs don't allow it. But the people who are working from home, they really only know other people like them who are also working from home. So what happens is you go, well, sure, everybody's working from home. Everybody I know is working from home. And you don't realize you're in the middle of a bubble. You're in the middle of an economic bubble. So now as this working from home things clearly is winding down, maybe the constant haranguing in the media about how to work from home, how to balance work from home with walking your pets, the best dog beds for when your dog wants to sit next to you at your desk because you're working from home, the most refreshing beverages to drink while you're working from home. Maybe some of that will stop because you know what? Most people seeing those articles just got mad because they couldn't work from home, so it didn't mean anything to them. Let's get a news update from Jennifer Jones Lee, and then President Biden has just given the almond industry a major victory. I was going to say it's nuts, and then I didn't want to say it. But then I thought, well, you started to say it, so you have to say it. And that is how we ended up at this very unfortunate place, my dear listener.
You are a shell of the man I used to know.
KFI AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Quite appropriate bumper music today. It's the Bill Handel Show. Some of the top stories we're following at KFI. President Biden told the UN General Assembly he would like to see intensive diplomacy to combat climate change and COVID-19. And speaking of COVID-19, Johnson & Johnson said a booster of its one-shot coronavirus vaccine provides a stronger immune response couple of months after people receive a first dose. All right, let's get this out of the way. The almond is not anywhere near the best nut. The almond is at best a fair to middling nut. no one can deny that the best nut is the macadamia nut. It is unfortunately also the most cost prohibitive nut. But let's say you can't afford the macadamia nuts. I would say a cashew is infinitely preferable to an almond. A pecan is probably above an almond. Walnuts, maybe neck and neck with the almond. The almond is, to me, it's a ubiquitous but also ran nut. Here in California, though, the almond is king. It's king of the crops, except for illegal marijuana. But except for that, it's the king of the crops. California's growing 80% of the world's almonds, and a lot of those almonds go outside of the United States. Exporting almonds is big business. The reason that the demand for almonds has increased is not because domestically we're all nutty over almonds. It's because they keep opening up markets in other parts of the world, and God bless them. Now, the almond industry is under some fire because almonds are a very water-intensive crop. We are in the middle of the second major drought in the last 10 years, and the Central Valley is having water supply problems. So as the almond growers expand, obviously they need a lot more water, but there's less water to go around. So you have some people pointing the fingers and saying, oh, Big Almond, you're a big part of the drought problem. And then Big Almond says, hey, what do you want from us? We're just growing this nut that everybody wants, which I don't think is really as true. Honestly, I think a lot of people eat almonds because that's the main thing that you see on the shelf. So there is an office called the United States Trade Representative's Office, and that is an office that is dedicated to global trade policies. And within that office, they have a position of a chief agricultural negotiator. And President Biden has just nominated for that position Elaine Trevino, president of the Almond Alliance of California. That's why this is a boon for Big Almond. Because the person, assuming that she's confirmed, and there's certainly nothing about her past or anything that would warrant not confirming her. She's a good person. She knows what she's doing. She had a related kind of role here in the state of California before joining this private trade group for almond growers. So unless the Republicans want to really be gross about it with her, she'll get the job. And then that means that it will be the almond industry that has an insider out there going around the world and, of course, trying to get other countries to buy more of our stuff, and I'm sure almonds will be a prominent part of that. And it's not the first time that a president has appointed somebody from a particular agricultural product group to this position. George W. Bush gave that job to an Iowa soybean person, and then that guy went away. And so George W. Bush gave it to somebody who was an executive with a genetically modified seed company. Barack Obama, when there was an opening in this position, went to a seed and pesticide industry lobbyist. President Trump appointed this dude that had been the chief economist for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. So this is what you do. You get somebody from an agricultural industry and you put them in that job and they go around the world and they get other countries to buy our agricultural products. And now the person will be deeply, deeply connected to the almond industry. And I just, if we were gonna go with nuts, we couldn't have gone over to Hawaii and gotten a macadamia nut person. Because here's the thing. If we could get more demand for macadamia nuts, then we would grow more macadamia nuts and maybe the supply-demand curve would balance out and the price could come down a little bit. I guess what I'm saying to you ultimately is, I don't care how much almonds cost because I don't want to buy a big bag of almonds. I want to buy a big bag of something else. Oh, which crop did he just refer to? Did he refer to other nuts, or was that a weird oblique reference to the illegal marijuana crops? Gary and Shannon are coming up right now. This is KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.